Anybody here fish? A few fisher people. I see some of this, like, I talked to someone this morning, Mansfield, who said, I used to fish. I get that, because what I have found is a lot of the lakes, you don't catch the things that you caught 30 years ago. You know, the bringing in, you know, a ton of perch. Now you're lucky if you get a nibble of a walleye about that big. Why do you suppose Jesus called fishermen to be his disciples? That's a really great question, isn't it? You know, he was preaching in the temples. He had access to some serious scholars, right? People who knew the scripture backward and forward. People who understood the laws of Moses. He had access to these people. Why did he call fishermen? I honestly think that everything Jesus did was some sort of illustration to help teach us about life, about God, about salvation, and pretty much about everything, really. And if you stop long enough to observe the world around you, God is still doing that. God is still using illustrations all around us to teach us something. The Native Americans illustrate this through the medicine wheel. What is it that the Great Spirit continues to tell us and teach us through the clouds, through the foods we eat, through each and every experience? What is it that God is God is teaching us? Even the small field mouse can teach us something. The way the soil behaves. Everything has meaning. And those who travel fast on this earth, scurrying about, not noticing the beauty in the stillness or the subtle nuances around us where God is really showing us something, I think they find themselves unfulfilled and sadly miss way too much. It's like the person who passes you in the hall, you know, the one that says, hey, how's it going? But by the time you answer, they're already way down the hall. One of the things I've been thinking a lot about lately is the flooding around us. Now, some of us have been lucky and have not been affected, but others continue to bail water, continue to deal with insurance companies, continue to mourn the loss of their precious items that they may not be able to keep because they're waterlogged. One of these instances came from a friend of mine who stored all of the family albums and heirlooms in the basement. And now they're gone. I mean, they're not gone, but they're waterlogged and will be moldy. So, in essence, they lost everything. But meanwhile, we also remember that in the summer heat, we have to hydrate, right? Water gives life. We have to drink lots of water. We must bathe regularly. We have to rely on water to sustain us. So it's both terrible and wonderful, water. At first, we find water in Genesis 1:2, right at the beginning of the Bible. And the last entry that we find in the Bible about water is in Revelation 22:17. And in the middle of those two books, streams directly through the pages of Scripture, lots and lots of living water. The people who were going to be taking Jesus' message into the world after him needed to understand what it was he was teaching. You know, the scholars, they could know the Bible inside and out. They could know the words in it. But did they understand what God was saying? Did they understand what God was doing? So he needed the people that were going to propel the good news into the world. He needed them to understand the message. These fishing disciples of his knew water. Their lives, probably since they could walk, had involved fishing. They get what it means to catch, and they get what it means to sometimes sacrifice deeply to get the catch. Jesus tells them that he will teach them how to fish for the souls of men. And this makes sense to them. One of the places that I find God quite tangibly is the water. And when I'm near the water or in the water, I picture scenes from his ministry. I picture him walking across the Sea of Galilee. I find myself doing research on whatever lake I'm on, and you know, how deep is it? How wide is it? How does it compare to the Sea of Galilee as I'm looking at this particular scene? I picture Jesus walking across the sea in a storm. I picture him preaching near Gennesaret. Everything Jesus did, he did for a reason, to make a point. I kind of find the story hysterical. I inwardly laugh every time I read this story because, okay, so these guys, these experts of the trade who have probably worked the water day in and day out since they were, you know, knee-high to a grasshopper, who have been out all night, probably the last 12 exhausting hours, staring at the lines, pulling them back in, rowing a little bit, tossing them out, pulling them back in, empty, 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 again and again for hours. For hours. And now, they have resolved themselves to, it just was a tough night. They're drying their nets, these great big nets, they're drying them, which will take a little bit of time, and they're, you know, folding them all out so that they dry nicely. And they're packing everything away. They're tired. They want to go home. They want to get a nap so that they can go out again tonight. Then Jesus, who is not a fisherman, comes along with a brilliant suggestion. He says, go back out and toss your net on the other side of the boat. Can you imagine? Have you ever had someone who has come to you when each of us is kind of an expert in one area in our lives? That's just the way things work. We know something about something. Have you ever had somebody come along that knows nothing about it and tells you how to do it? Isn't that great? But Peter, realizing who Jesus is, says, okay, if you say so, we will. Because Peter knows this is Jesus. And what happens when they follow his suggestion? They understand that Jesus operates outside the law of physics. The disciples were, to say the least, surprised. If they were live today, I suspect the text conversation would have been quite interesting. You In our scripture, Peter says, I'm going fishing. And his partners say they'll help him, which is simply providential. You know, because after Jesus is gone, they seriously go fishing, and the disciples join them. They're fishing for the souls of men. They teach us, those first disciples, they teach us what it means to go fishing. They teach us that when Jesus is in the boat, incredible things happen. As I continue to learn to fish, I think about the parallels, how we, as the body of Christ, and the church can learn from this illustration. Like the Native American medicine wheel demonstrates, everything around us is a teacher. Lessons come to us in nuances. I don't claim to have the answers. I don't claim to be the best fisher person. But I can observe what God is teaching me. Here's what I have learned, especially over the past week of fishing. First, certain parts of the lake are more fertile than others, and fish hang out at various depths. Now, as I'm saying this, parallel this to fishing for the souls of people, how we as disciples come in and talk to potential Christians who we want to bring in. So the fish hang out at different depths, and there's a lot of variables. It's not a one-size-fits-all formula. There are a lot of ways to fish. You can fish from the pier, you can fish from the boat, in a lake, a river, an ocean, angling, casting, trolling. So many ways of approaching fishing. Number three, there are different lures and bait, different poles, different lines, different hooks, different techniques. The more you fish, the better you become at knowing what works best depending on the situation. Fishing is more of an art than a science. Much of it is about feeling, knowing the difference as you're holding your pole, knowing the difference between snagging a weed and the tap-tap of a fish on the line. Lines get snagged. They just do. If you've ever fished, your line has gotten snagged. If it hasn't, you haven't fished enough, because it will happen. Don't panic. Simply do your best to work it out. Check once in a while to make sure that the bait is still on the hook, because it really, really is frustrating if you've been fishing without bait for the last half hour and you reel it in and go, oh, I haven't had bait on my line. Somebody just ate it. Come prepared, but be open to possibilities. Patience and perseverance are extremely important. Number nine, it's frustrating, as the disciples can attest to, when the fish are not biting. You can try as hard as you want, but sometimes the fish are just not biting. And finally, fishing is wonderful. It really is. But catching, landing a catch, is ideal. Jesus' disciples had no idea. They had no idea what was going to weave their fishing life so deeply into Jesus' ministry, and that it would continue 2,000 years later. We're still talking about the fishing analogies. Each of us has teachers around us, even when the experience is unpleasant. We have the opportunity to learn from it. Remember, the disciples caught nothing, but God was still able to produce something worth catching. Amen.